Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
And we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and it is time for our very own Golf Central as we recap the 2011 British Open. We're also going to take time to hit on a number of golf headlines, and we are so delighted to welcome back to our show Alan Shipnuck. He is the senior writer for Sports Illustrated, who was on our program a while back. We highlighted his new book on LPGA star Christina Kim. We're also going to be talking about his brand new book titled The Swinger. And Alan, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you are just fresh back from Royal St. George's, Sandwich, England, and we wanted to kind of get your thoughts on Darren Clark as he captures the British Open for his first major title. It really was amazing.
Yeah, it was a storybook victory. I mean, the whole continent was rooting for the guy. 15 years ago, Clark seemed like he had a chance to be the best player in golf, and he never quite achieved his potential. Of course, everyone knows the very sad story with his wife dying of cancer. And, you know, it seemed like his time had passed, and he was always going to be kind of a what-if. But it was a magical week, and he played brilliantly. He certainly deserved to win, and it was really one of the more emotional victories I've seen on the golf piece.
What was it like to be over there and to be, you know, covering some of the world's best?
Well, the Open Championship is always a really fun week. It can be a challenge with the weather and also things like the hotels, the water pressure in the shower, the food. you know, there's creature comforts are at a minimum there, but the playing fields are so wonderful. I love links golf. It's so fun to watch the players be tested in a different and sort of unique way and how they adapt their games or not. And, you know, the ever-changing weather. I mean, it's an outdoor sport, and That 1 week a year, that's sometimes the most critical element is the weather and what draw you get in the tee times. And it's just a really, really fun week, and it's a great change of pace from, you know, covering the PGA Tour.
And how about the performance of Phil Mickelson? I thought, he had an outstanding tournament, and the fact that I remember, you know, leading into that, some of the reporters, they were kind of puzzled by why he has struggled on links courses, and just he seemed like he, you know, changed his mindset. He said, in fact, that he was going to pretend like it was his first time there, and he played extremely well. He embraced the challenge.
Yeah, Phil sort of hypnotized himself into believing that he was a rookie and he had a chance to win, and in fact, he did. And I think it's a really important performance for him. It really bodes well for future Opens, and, you know, his stated goal is to win the career Grand Slam, and it always seemed like this was going to be the one that was toughest for him to pull off, but he found sort of not only a new attitude, but a new playing style. He was hitting these really cool, low, stinging drivers that would just get on the ground real quick and run forever, and he didn't make a double bogey all week. That's, you know, big numbers have always been his problem at that tournament, but he wasn't hitting these high pop-ups into the wind. He really was controlling his ball nicely. He was using the contours of the course to his advantage, and it was fun to watch him. And, you know, clearly he would have liked a better back nine on Sunday, but he was pretty chipper afterwards. I think he feels like he kind of cracked the code, and he's going to be a contender next year and beyond.
Certainly was impressed with the play of Phil Mickelson, but the guy that is absolutely timeless is Tom Watson. Ageless excellence was one of the headlines. And how about that hole-in-one, Alan?
Oh, yeah, it was. That was one of the highlights of the week, without a doubt. It was so much fun to you just put a charge through the tournament, not just because the hole-in-one, but it was a reminder that, you know, this guy is still here. And if we'd had four really nasty weather days, then he might have won the tournament because he's the greatest links golfer of all time. He's probably the best bad weather golfer of all time. He still hits it pure. On those slower greens, that he's more confident with his putting. And so, it's crazy to say he's going to be 62 at next year's Open, but any time the weather is really foul, I mean, he's going to be there. And to me, what Tom Watson is doing is one of the most amazing things in all of sports. And I think folks almost take him for granted. But, you know, to be in your 60s and kicking the butt of most of the best players in the world at the most important tournament is just mind-blowing.
You are listening to the voice of Alan Shipnuck. He is the senior writer with Sports Illustrated. He has a brand new book that is out. It is titled The Swinger. We are going to hit on that here momentarily. But, you know, as we highlight and talk about even Tom Watson, I mean, a guy that's won two Masters, one U.S. Open. And as you said, somehow, some way, he finds success on links courses. I mean, he's won 5 British Opens. I mean, how much more is this guy going to be able to accomplish throughout his legendary career? I mean, he's not slowing down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, as he said last week, he still has a desire to compete, and he takes good care of himself physically. His swing is timeless. You know, putting stroke's not getting any worse. It comes and it goes, but that often deteriorates with age. But he's had the yips. He's conquered those, so he can handle inconsistent putting. It's better than it used to be. And there's no reason why he won't play well the next few Opens.
And one of the guys that is one of the game's brightest stars and upcomers, the 22-year-old sensation in Rory McIlroy. Can you kind of give an assessment of his performance? And I know he had a little bit of a layoff, took 3 weeks off after just his impressive win at the U.S. Open. He really is a remarkable young man. And what perhaps, Alan, impresses you the most about him?
Well, his golf swing, I mean, it might be the best since Sam Snead. So that's really what it's all about with Rory. He just hits it so good every time. But it was an interesting week because he came in with tons of expectations and pressure, and he really didn't handle it that well. You know, he just looked like he was trying too hard. He wasn't as relaxed and carefree as he was at the U.S. Open, and he was making some uncharacteristic mistakes. You know, he hit a ball OB on Saturday, he had 2 penalty strokes on Sunday. And then afterwards, he was kind of moaning about the weather and saying he couldn't wait to get back to the U.S. where it's 80 degrees. And this is a kid who grew up in Northern Ireland, so that was a little surprising. And maybe that was just frustration talking, but, you know, both Tiger and Jack Nicklaus have always said they'd love to hear other players complaining about the weather or the golf course because they know they're already beaten mentally. And you know, Rory's going to have to find a way to fall in love with the Open Championship and the weather and all the challenges because otherwise he's not going to have a chance to win it with a bad attitude.
We are so glad you're along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And we are so glad we are catching up with Alan Shipnuck, the senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Golf Writers Association of America Award. You were the recipient this year, too, for that, right, Alan?
Yeah, I've had a nice little run. I think I've won 5 in the last 4 years.
How about that?
So, always nice to be recognized by your peers.
And he has got a new book out. It is titled The Swinger. As I said, we're going to talk about that here momentarily. But the big news that we are hearing this week, Tiger Woods parts ways with his longtime caddy and friend, Steve Williams. Help us out here, Alan. Come on, provide some insight. I mean, did you know that this was going to happen, that we'd have this ultimate breakup? There's certainly, it's been quite a buzz on the radio airwaves.
Yeah, if you were reading the tea leaves, I mean, with Steve Williams' commitment to Adam Scott this summer and Tiger parting ways with IMG, and before that his swing coach. I mean, clearly he's trying to reinvent himself, and he wants some fresh perspective on his swing, on his career, on his life. And besides your wife, that's the most intimate relationship for a golfer is your caddy. And so I think it was just these things happen in golf. There's been they had a long run. I mean, a lot of even very successful player caddy partnerships only last 3, 4, 5 years, and they were going on 13. So it was just, I think Tiger wanted a different voice. He just wanted a different personality. And, there's a lot of speculation who's going to be next, but whoever did it, they're going to be a lot different than Stevie, who was pretty feisty and almost a brooding presence. You know, maybe Tiger's looking for someone a little more chipper and upbeat, and certainly he needs a change. And so, it wasn't a shock. It was a surprise.
Of course, Tiger, as you said, you know, he's looking for that rebirth, that renaissance in his career. But, you know, Steve Williams, it was kind of interesting listening to him even at the press conference talking about that, you know, his wife was really good friends with Elon. And you have to wonder, perhaps, was that really behind the decision that, as you're saying, you know, he wanted a fresh start and just complete break from the past?
Yeah, you know, it's certainly a complicated dynamic, put it that way.
Alan Shipnuck is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Let me ask you a couple more questions about that. Who are some potential candidates that Tiger Woods would perhaps select to be his caddy?
Well, there's a few names being kicked around. Billy Foster, who caddied for Tiger at the President's Cup a few years ago when Steve Williams' girlfriend was giving birth. And he's looping for Lee Westwood, who's number 2 in the world. So, and Westwood's a sure thing. Tiger's a risk, and the bag comes with a lot of potential hassles. And I don't know if Billy Foster's going to take the plunge. I think the best choice would be Noda Begay, who is kind of winding down his playing career.
Yeah.
Transitioning into broadcasting. But you know, they were best friends at Stanford, and they have a very deep bond. And Noda knows Tiger's game, knows his personality. It's kind of a link to a more innocent time in Tiger's life. When we talked about Stanford, it was clearly the 2 best years of his life. And Noda really was a big brother on that team. So I mean, I haven't heard anything, and I haven't even reached out to Notre Dame to talk to him about it. But I think just looking at who's out there, if you want to do something different and bold, I think he'd be a great choice.
Alan, let's move ahead and let's talk about your brand new book. It is titled The Swinger. It's a novel about a famous golfer, the world's most celebrated athlete. And here we are. We're talking about the headlines, the latest with Tiger Woods. I have to wonder, how much of an inspiration was he in writing this?
Well, clearly, you know, what Tiger's been through was a template for the book. The Swinger kind of chronicles the rise and fall and rise again of the world's greatest golfer and gets sucked into a big tabloid-driven scandal and emerges out on the other side of it. And obviously, there's echoes of some of Tiger's story. Certainly, through the magic of fiction, you know, my co-writer Michael Bamberg and I, we were able to take the story in totally different ways and introduce a bunch of new characters. And you know, it's not the Tiger Woods story. That would have been a different kind of book. That, you know, maybe some sort of forensic recreation of the scandal. But that would be very much fun. This, you know, this is a way to have some laughs and the lighter side of this pro tour, but also to address some questions that, you know, we feel like have been unanswered. You know, things like, can you be redeemed through sport? Does an athlete have a right to privacy? You know, they're not ministers, they're not public officials. You know, why do we expect these guys to have some ethical standards that maybe are unrealistic? And, you know, are the enablers around an athlete, are they culpable for his misdeeds? And, you know, so there's a lot of laughs in the book, but there's also a serious element to where we try and kind of make sense of the fallout of not just Tiger's scandal, but others. And you know, we as sports fans and as a society are going to have to kind of figure out what we want from these guys. Maybe it's not realistic.
I'm curious, you know, from the sounds of it, you know, it's a fictional reaction to Tiger's situation. What kind of reaction and response have you guys been getting from some of the guys on tour, or have you received any at all, Alan?
Yeah, you know, we've given the book to various players and agents and caddies and PGA Tour officials, and we're getting great feedback. I mean, everyone really likes the story. You know, they recognize it. That Michael and I, you know, the book was written with a smile. We're not piling on anyone. We love golf. We love the golf world.
Sure.
In it, and we have, you know, our protagonist is a guy named Tree Tremont, and he's treated with more empathy and understanding than I think Tiger's ever gotten in the real world. And you know, I think people appreciate that. And there's a nice redemptive arc for our character. You know, he learns a lot of hard lessons about himself, and at the end of the book, he emerges not only a better golfer, but certainly a better, more open, more honest person. And I think that's pleasing for people who have been denied that sort of closure in the real world.
Alan, where can you tell all of our listeners to go and to get a copy of this? And do you have a website where they can check out some of the articles that you do provide for Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, well, all my work for the magazine actually goes to golf.com, and I do some original stuff for that website. And if you want to buy the book, certainly it's at Amazon and barnesandnoble.com. And if you're lucky enough to have a neighborhood bookstore, it should be there as well.
And as you said, your colleague Michael Bamberger, you guys had teamed up on that. What was that process like? I got to ask you.
Oh, it was really fun.
Was it?
Writing a novel can be lonely. You're just sitting in a room by yourself. And for Michael and I, it was nice to have a built-in cheering section. And he kind of kept us sitting there typing. You know, we didn't want to let the other guy down, and really helped propel us forward. We wrote the book in about 2 months, and which is really quick. And I think that energy kind of translates to the page. There's sort of an urgency that was reflected in the process of writing it, and you know, it allowed us to bounce ideas off each other and cherry pick each other's best material, and it was really a fun collaboration.
Of course, the book is titled The Swinger. We've been visiting with Alan Shipnuck. He is the senior writer with Sports Illustrated. Does an outstanding job, and Alan, we certainly appreciate your time and dropping by. Thanks again so much, and we hope to catch up with you again real soon. What's your next project you got on the plate?
Well, just a big summer of golf tournaments in front of me, with going to the, obviously, the PGA Championship and the FedEx Cup and maybe the Solheim Cup, maybe the President's Cup. So no book projects are imminent, but a lot of work for the magazine.
Okay, Alan. Thanks again so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.